I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
All right, now I'm going to start. Is that okay with you?
Okay with me, baby. It's opening day.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromney. Happy opening day to all of you who celebrate it. King's ready, baby. He's got the ad space up. He's got the Royals hat. He's got his ping all ready to go. Before we get into that, movie this week for Sunday is Everything Everywhere All at Once. It is the one that won all the Oscars. It's on Stars at the moment. So if you want to watch that, listen to us talk about it on Sunday, do so. Opening day. I got the A's on my TV right now. More like Nohei Ohtani. Saw Shohei strike out. Also, went through the lineup for the A's. But that's fine. Baseball started. Everything's good today, right? And then, like, next week, everything goes to shit and our team suck again. But, like, right now, it's all good.
Oh, my team, 0-1, baby. Zach Greinke, absolute ace. Absolute ace on the bump again when they're playing in their true blues. Atta boy, atta kid, let's go.
Did we get transported back to, like, 2005? Because Greinke opened for you and Corey Kluber was opening for the Sox today. What year are we in?
What is happening?
The Corey Kluber one was bizarre.
How is he still in the league?
He actually had an okay year last year for the Rays.
I don't believe it.
He was a Ray?
He was a Ray last year.
No way.
No.
I believe he lost in the play-in game to the Guardians.
Oh, you know, Mr. Kloobs.
Yeah.
That's the most believable thing I've heard.
And then who the fuck is throwing for the A's, Brock? I've never heard of this guy. Yeah. Fucking Mueller report out here.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, I got nothing. No, he was part of one of those trades where Oakland gets rid of, all of their really good players.
Good players.
And he was like their top prospect they got back in the deal. And he's, going to be really good in a couple of years. And then they're going to trade him, too. That's just how it works.
Well,
and so
I've been reading things about, these big casino owners. One of these casino guys is going to get the A's to Vegas. And knowing those guys, they're going to start pumping money back into the A's.
Oh, man. I think I read that the Howard Terminal thing? Mm. They lost their little stance today, legally. So
the A's can
officially start planning on building there. And they'll still go to Vegas, but that's tease.
I'll just say that the plan for that would be really cool. Like the Howard Terminal one, like that would be sweet. If somebody in that area is super dedicated to keeping Oakland there, making that happen would be really cool for Oakland. It'd be really cool for the A's, keeping them around. I'm just saying, it'd be awesome. But everybody's moving to Vegas now. Like the whole world is going to Vegas now. So I get it.
I mean, like, how big of a loser franchise do you have to be in the A's to be like, want to know what? We're leaving Kansas City, the great state, the champion, the center of sports in Kansas City. Like, you want to know what? We're going to move to the East Bay from Kansas City. I mean, give me a break. Connie Mack in Philadelphia, he is rolling in his grave at your Oakland Athletics.
The shining star of the Midwest.
Beacon of the Midwest. You don't fly from LA to New York and not pass Kansas City, Missouri. Let me tell you what.
Not stopping it.
Not stopping it.
But pass it. Yeah.
You stop in Denver. Maybe, but
yeah, St. Louis is a place you stop, but
oh God, no.
I wouldn't personally want to do it. I'm just saying that's where.
If you have a cross country flight and you stop in St. Louis instead of like you've done things.
The Mariners pitcher just about died. Castillo.
Damn shame. You hate to see it.
Yeah.
Hey, the juicer's up for the A's right now. Laureano's back. So that's a thing.
Yeah, he is.
Shohei struck him out, of course. That's how that works.
Everyone strikes out Laureano.
I'll say the baby blues were a beautiful thing, King.
They were.
They were
very good.
Yeah.
I'm glad they finally went full in. See, we're doing the tops for a couple of years.
Yeah, they were.
And they're just like, oh, fuck it. Go Bottoms, too.
So here's the question from Booble in the chat. Would I remain an A's fan if they go to Vegas? I was just thinking about that. I would actually have to see it happen before I could make a decision on that, I think. Because I'm leaning towards yes.
What, are you gonna be a Giants fan?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Who am I going to be a baseball fan of? It's not going to be the Mariners. So, like, who would that be? I can't even think of another team that I would possibly root for. Maybe the Giants. I have buddies who are Giants fans, so I could, like, I don't see it, guys. I don't see it. So, you know, maybe I go to Vegas a couple times a year and watch an A's game. there are worse things that could happen, I guess.
I mean, you could go to Oakland right now, so.
Yeah, I sure could.
Lease are cheap. Lease are cheap.
Direct flight, right, I think, from Eugene to Oakland, to be honest.
direct flight to Oakland Coliseum. I'm pretty sure you can land in the outfield.
$200 for flight and some seats. I mean, tough to pass up there.
Oh, geez. I could take a boat. I could take a boat.
Is that a Portland Sea Dogs hat, Ski?
This is a Sea Dogs hat.
A paw?
Portland.
Okay, Portland, okay.
I got the paw socks and the woo
paw
socks.
Paw socks, okay, yeah.
All right, while we're on the hat note, nice transition. Most of our morning, everybody in our area, it revolved around the Eugene Emeralds dropping the exploding whales.
Oh, more like dropping the ball.
Dropping the ball.
I mean, come on,
Alan Benavides. Why do you hate your fan base?
Let's not blame supply chain issues on this one. It's 2023.
Yeah, I'm gonna go make some bootleg hats if you're not careful. I'll be selling
a real whale of a time trying to log in on that thing.
Nice. Yeah, that was the big deal. We were all waiting on the hats. They dropped this morning, and there were not that many to be sold. And we have like a little bit of inside info on why that happened. It's a bummer that it happened, but, you know, like, it sucks. I really want one. And one of the three people on this call got one. So,
yep.
Good.
I guess it
good pays to have a small dome.
Get smaller heads, I guess.
Yeah.
Bust it down to a quarter. They were there.
There were hats to be had for another 1 or 2 minutes after everything sold out. No, literally, it was like 5 minutes before the entire, all of them sold out. The big sizes sold out within a minute. I had, so our plan as a pod, I was going to go in there at 10 o'clock. I was sitting, I had the computer open. I was clicking it. All right, they're not up yet. Clicking it, not up yet. Okay, they're up. And I got all three sizes in my cart. Entered my card information. By the time I went to put the address in, they were sold out. I was like, oh.
Need that Apple Pay, that card.
Google saves my card information, man. It didn't take me that much time. You just got to put in the security code. It's a damn shame.
I have been a Eugene Emeralds fan through thick and thin. I remember the McRae brothers. Well, just the son, whatever. I was there when John Rocker was closing out games on at Civic. I was there for Colby Hill. I sat through thick and thin when the Boise Hawks and the Medford Timberjacks. I saw the Giambi brothers just torment the poor Emeralds of Eugene. I was there when the stadium built was burned down by some miscreants from Roosevelt Middle School. Absolute Rough Riders. I was there when they went to PK Park. I was there when they were running ads and said, oh, for 70 years and have never done anything. I was there and I could not get a hat. And I'm going to tell you, with a hop, skip, and a jump, I am now a Hillsboro fan. I am done with Eugene Emeralds. I'm telling you. You want to know what? All the glitters is not gold. It's same with the Emeralds. It doesn't shine. There's no shine on the Emeralds anymore. It's done. It's dusted. It's gross. I'm a Hops fan now.
Wow.
Go Hillsboro.
Wow.
I mean,
go Snakes. Go Diamondbacks. I I can't even tell you who the M's are affiliated for. It's probably the Giants, but I'm not the one saying it. I'm a Diamondbacks fan. Luis Gonzalez, the supreme MLB franchise down in downtown Phoenix. They're way better than the Giants. What have the Giants done lately? I haven't seen the Giants win a World Series in a long time. And maybe I did. Whatever. Madison Bumgarner, he cheats. Luis Gonzalez, the real. That is the real Randy Johnson. Kurt Schilling, that's an American, brother. Let me tell you, that man robbed the state of Rhode Island blind through a video game, but that's a real American. That is a real American because he votes red. Let me tell you. And when the M's could not let me get happy, want to know what I saw? I saw red, brother. I was like a bull. I was a bull. Yeah, I'm a Hops fan now. I would have been a Salem Volcanoes fan, but you want to know what? They don't exist anymore, apparently.
Yeah, they're gone. They're gone.
I mean, you could get a Airbnb in their stadium if you want.
I could.
You could spend a couple nights in their stadium right next to In-N-Out.
I think it will just to spite the poo Gene Emeralds.
All right, I mean, you lost me, and then you got me back with poo Gene Emeralds.
The poo Gene Emeralds.
I mean, which one of us growing up didn't have Sal Fasano spit-chewing tobacco at us as a young lad? I mean,
mm-hmm. I mean, I was there when Mike Sweeney was swinging sweet, and I was eating peanuts in the concourse, fighting raccoons out in right field at Civic Stadium. I was getting cavities, filled out in right field and sneaking underneath just so I could see the sweet dream of a minor leaguer maybe going ahead and getting to the show.
Walking over the overpass.
No, I'm gonna show.
Walking over the overpass from South Eugene, spitting on cars.
No, what I'm going to show you, Eugene Emeralds? A middle finger. Yeah, that's what I'm showing you, M's. MLB the show, more like Eugene Emeralds than no.
Do we consider like a ban from the podcast? We can't have any Hops people in here.
Oh, big Hops fan.
Choose the Aqua Sox or something. It can't be the Hawks.
Okay, I am a Yakima Bears fan.
Everett
Aqua. The Yakima Bears.
Tri-City Dust Devil.
I hope the
M's go 0-132. That's all I'm saying. I'm offended. I used to be offended. Now I'm just offended. It's terrible.
Booble says you need to name the Hop Stadium. If you're going to be a fan of them, you got to name the stadium.
Oh, I can. It's Ron Tonkin Field, baby.
I'm sitting
there at the Tonk, baby. It's me at the Tonk. What it do?
You need to make a rap song. Meet me at the Tonk. Let's go.
Meet me at the Tonk. And then, let me tell you, another thing. They're about to build a new stadium. I don't think the Eugene Emeralds are getting a stadium. Okay, I'm not going to carry that.
No, let's not do that. Let's not get.
That's not fair.
No, we're not doing that.
No, I'm not.
Honky Tonk Badonkadonk from Booble. By the way, shout out. Let's give the shout out. WCP says one of our podcast listener. Is at the Mariners game right now, double fisting some PBRs. Shout out to his cousin Bo. So, what's up?
Big old Vaughn, attaboy, Bo. Let's go.
What's up, Bo? I mean, you root for a horrible team, but good for you.
It's fine. He's a resident Coug fan, so
I mean, the taste is not great. From everything I've heard about you, you root for the Mariners and you double fist PBRs. I'm just saying,
But seriously, if you're double fisting PBRs on opening night at a baseball game, that's $95. So
yeah.
Oh, at least.
Yeah. And eating some crickets. Eat some crickets and PBR. It's a delicacy.
I don't think they sell the crickets anymore.
No. Really. Like a national cricket shortage?
Yeah, that was just looking back on it, that was just a weird Ichiro thing. We're like, oh, we have a lot of Asian people here. They eat bugs. I'm telling you, because once Ichiro left, they stopped selling them.
I thought it was a T-Mobile thing. So like T-Mobile came on board.
I think it was a Nintendo thing.
Oh, okay. So the crickets were before T-Mobile?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know they'd been around that long.
You get the crickets and the Ichi rolls.
And the Ichi roll.
The Ichi roll, yeah. Shout out to Timon and Pumbaa from Booble in the chat. Okay, back to... So, by the way, Ski got a hat. Fucking nobody else got a hat! Remedy the situation, Eugene Emeralds, and give it to us for free!
Oh, Boise Hawks, baby! Yeah. I hope they just shove it down your throat all year!
Yeah, you know who's got a good hat? It's the Aqua Sox, man.
They do.
They got a fantastic good hat. Yeah.
Rachel, are you guys saying I should put the hat up on eBay? I mean, it is limited edition.
No. You got to be hipster and
hold on to that. You wear that hat.
There's only 300 out there in existence, so they say. I'm looking at you, Jacob Archer. I think you guys are lying. I'm looking at you, Alec Benavides. I think you guys are lying.
I want to make it perfectly clear that we are mostly joking.
I am not joking.
You are not joking. I am off the M's bandwagon. I'm unhinged. I, on the other hand, I want to make it perfectly clear. If Alan needs anything from us, we got you. Just saying. All right. So you're saying you're not going to be there
for the snapback drop when they come out, the second drop?
The dad hats. I am not a dad hat person. They don't really fit my head very well. I have one Blazers snapback, but it's like a flat bill still, and so it still fits really nice. The fucking small bills, I can't do it, man. We've established I have a huge dome. Those hats don't work.
It's not the size of the bill, it's just how you use it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's the size of the bill.
Wait, would you rather have that borderline erotic? You want the smallest from Sandlot bill that's like 3 feet off the hat?
You
want
to say that on mic or that's you're going to talk like. Shit away from here? I'll hit you with something.
Yeah. you want to hear the ping? Keep talking that shit. somebody off screen talking some shit in the King household.
She said sometimes it definitely is just the size of the bill.
Sometimes it's the size.
Have fun with William. Hope he's good.
All right, so anything else from opening day today? I don't know. So Stroman, we sort of mentioned it before we started. Stroman had the pitch clock thing against him. Devers had one too, you said, Ski. He was out because of it, right?
Struck out in the eighth, yeah.
Struck out in the eighth, yeah, okay. So, I mean, still getting used to the rules. That one we were sort of saying... It sucks because you're sort of leaving a lot of it up to the ump. Because the Stroman one, there was like Stroman, they called the ball, but there was still a second when the ump got up. Like he was like just beginning his delivery and there was a second left on the clock. So like dude, just give him benefit of the doubt. Like he's starting his motion. Like why are you like don't be that strict about it, especially if he hasn't actually hit zero yet.
It should be a full count after zero or seven.
Yeah. No. It should be the fucking play clock in the NFL. Like it hits zero and they give him a second. They're like, you know what? It's not worth it to stop the entire game and give a dumb penalty that nobody really cares about and like, you know, kill momentum. Same thing with this too, man. There's no reason. Just let the guy pitch. He's already about to pitch. Just let him pitch. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the rule's built to get rid of the egregious offenders that force the hand of making this rule.
Right.
If someone's just pitch in a timely manner, yeah, I say give them that little extra tick. Give them the benefit of the doubt. If they're not in the box with 8 seconds, yeah, fucking give them a strike. Yeah. You know, if they're staring, not moving an inch after a half a tick after zero, I can call a ball, sure. But like I said, that Stroman one was bad. Dever one was kind of brutal too. And it, like I said, it's the fact that it's only up to the umpire. And we know how bad these guys are just calling balls and strikes. Now they have to read clocks and call balls and strikes.
I know. Well, Booble points out there's like a buzzer in their headset that goes off. So like, yes, you're right. Like there is something that is telling them to call it, but you get that buzzer, you give it a second, and then you do it. Like, it's, you know, it's not something that's like, oh my God, I got buzzed, I gotta call it. It's like, no, man, like, you're a grown up, you're a human being, you can figure it out.
Speaking of the tick,
Patrick Warburton.
Nice. Yep. Yeah.
Got to support the team.
We're the Devils.
The Devils.
I think I met that guy once.
Yeah, that's right.
You met?
I'm trying to remember because, like, he was. It might be another dude who was. Yeah, no, it was another dude from Seinfeld. You remember, like, Elaine's boss in Seinfeld?
Which one? Mr. Peterman?
Mr. Peterman. Yeah. Mr. Peterman was doing, like, a show at the Halt Center, and they were doing the Radio Row thing. And this was back when Schroeder had his writer's block show. And so
Yeah,
I was board hopping that show, and he came in for it. And so I met that dude. There's no other story. It was a boring radio interview, but, you know.
There was no urban sombrero or anything?
No. Where's my coffee, peasant? Yeah, he didn't say that.
No.
But you can imagine what it'd be like if he did, right? Okay, what else? DeGrom got shelled. Yankees beat the Giants. That was a thing, I guess, because the Giants were convinced they were going to get Judge, and then he homers off him in the first inning.
And also, Cole had 10 strikeouts through 4 innings.
Yeah.
I can definitely notice stolen bases being up already. Seen a lot more guys stealing.
It's good. It's good for the sport.
Apparently Portland isn't the only place with stolen things. Law and order.
No. Not just Portland.
Really? You're gonna talk down on your town like that now, Mr. Hops fan?
I'm a suburb guy. I'm in Hillsboro. I'm away from the fire and brimstone.
I'm all the way out in Woodburn, folks. Don't tell me about Portland. All right. Anything else? Any other thoughts for opening day? I don't know. This might be the last boring time we talk about baseball until the All-Star break, so I don't know.
Yeah, kind of boring opening day.
Can I say something weird? I don't like this format of opening day.
You wanted the little, like, 2 games yesterday kind of thing?
Yeah, like a little opening night, you know. Yeah. And the only reason I really say that is because I love when the team that hosts opening night has to try and cover up the paint job that says opening night all over the field for, like, a month. And they're like, the next day, they're like, no, it's opening day. And then they try and paint over it and say opening week. And then they just try and put green over all 3 of the sayings, and it just doesn't work. It's great. I love it.
The players are, like, sliding around in the paint.
The guys make these billion-dollar franchises can't hide. Come on.
I mean, you have to wait for the grass to grow out to cut it down.
Get out of here.
Great googly moogly, am I right?
We could get the sod father out there, I guess, to re-sod.
Have you seen the sod father lately?
He's pretty fired up still, I think.
Yeah, he is not happy about that Super Bowl grass. The NFL really threw him under the bus, he says.
He's still talking about it?
It's been a couple of weeks, but yeah, he was hitting that circuit.
Man, I guess it's like his livelihood, so if the
tarnished his career. Like, it's like, yeah, 50-year career.
Well, I mean,
being the sod father.
You know what? I'll say it. If you've been doing something for 50 years, you should retire. Right? Collect that Social Security. You know what I mean?
So you wanted to get rid of Vin Scully like 30 years ago?
Yep. Just doing it too long, man. You only have so many stories. You have Vin Scully up there telling the same eight stories over and over again.
Fishing in Montana.
Well, that's Montana.
Just outside.
Just a bit outside. Or you go like Brockmeyer. If you hit your 50, you just go Brockmeyer.
They should be a real, yeah, if you hit your 50 years of doing something, you should have to like hit like 3 rails of blow before a game. Change something or do something. Get them like an edible or something pregame. Got to start mixing it up.
Exactly. Booble says Braga is anti-tenure, anti-lifetime appointments.
Yeah.
That's me, man. That's me. And while we're at it, in Hunter Biden's America, these baseball, take out John Miller while you're at it. You know what?
Adios, pelotas.
Adios, Millar. Enough already.
Yeah, we know Braga is a very big anti union guy over here.
Yeah.
He's a real big union buster. It's bizarre.
Yeah, he is.
Always looking out for the big guy.
Hate me a picket line. I will walk all over that picket line and across it. Anti Bob Uecker.
Yeah, see? Ukes.
Yeah, by the way, good comment from Hucklebenny in the chat. He's watching the Mariners game right now. It's like moving. Top four in under an hour. Yeah. I was noticing that with the A's game too. It's nice.
I totally noticed that with the Royals game too, which I did not watch a second of. Go Royals!
you might actually by the way, recording the podcast now, we're gonna get through like most of the game just while the podcast is happening. But it's bottom four in Oakland right now. Crazy.
Yeah, that Yankee game I think took 30 minutes for five innings.
It's crazy
because Cole had 10 and other guy had like 8. They just mowed him down. And you know, 3 pitches go in 10 seconds now.
So what you're telling me is it's not a big deal, and the players can actually do it.
Yeah, the problem was never the pitchers. The problems were the hitters. The clock hurts them more than the pitchers.
It's an interesting debate.
Because it changed
how the pitchers do everything. You know, they still have the option to give the signals or whatever, but like a lot of them just have the pitch buttons or whatever on their glove, and it just sends the pitch they want to pitch to the catcher. And so it there's technology now that was created just because of this, and it's working.
You could still throw down signs. It just
you can.
Majority they would throw a pitch, catch the ball, step off the mound, you know, do something for 10 seconds. All you do is catch the ball and stand there. You're pretty much ready to go for a pitcher. Hitters kind of, like I said, when one of Devers' bats hit a long foul ball, he ran down to first base, had to come jogging all the way back, pick up his bat, and they like started that clock like right when he picked up his bat. And it was just like, you got 7 seconds here, bud. Get in there. You're hitting.
That's what I do. I would just step in and then like leave the bat down on the ground and then like dude go through my routine, then pick up the bat and then get ready.
Yeah, I will say that they will have to make some adjustments at some point.
Yeah.
Where when someone like hits a ball down the line and they've rounded first base or whatever and it's foul, there's got to be some like extension of grace on that.
Yeah,
but I don't need
Yeah, exactly.
That shit can be gone.
Okay. Yeah, this but, fucking no man.
Yeah, no.
That dude's gonna hit.
No more.
Ohtani dealing, boys. Go figure.
Playing the fucking A's. Let's take it easy there.
Just before we leave, or I'm assuming we're transitioning from opening day. Maybe not.
Yes.
I could be wrong.
Yes.
I don't know. And I know they can't really quite do it like other sports because they play series, not just a game. How do they not rig opening day, though?
For matchups. Like MLB rigging it? What do you mean? Like determining
just
the outcomes?
Like, well, because like, so in the NFL, the Chiefs are going to host the Bengals week one next year. We fucking know it. It's just going to be what happens. How many times did we see the Warriors and the Cavs, or the Warriors and Lakers, Cavs and Celtics, you know, game one.
So you mean like a showcase game to open?
Yeah, where like, you know, everyone has like a show, not everyone, but there's a couple of teams that do like a showcase one or two game series. Cause every day is different with pitchers. I get it. But like Shohei Ohtani, especially after that WBC thing, why is he pitching in Oakland at 10:10 start time on the East Coast? And I know it's not going to make a, it's not ever going to hit the juice like some of the other sports, but they need to go, like I was saying earlier, everyone playing right off the bat at the same time, basically, you know, same day. It's kind of weird. Just kind of rig the game for a week because we got 79 straight weeks of A's and Angels. Yeah. And
there's 2,500 games about to be played.
Well, no. What they usually do is an opening series, because usually it's like the Yankees and the Red Sox, or the Yankees and the Mets, or something.
Someone in Japan,
something like that.
Red Sox never play the Yankees opening. Never.
I'm calling BS. Oh, we got.
I don't think they do either.
We got the video fucked up. Is that for everybody? Yes, it looks like it. All right, I'm going to stop and then start again, yeah? Okay, we back. Thanks for hanging in there with us. The Lively Pod with a Go Braves in the chat. Go Braves.
Ew.
Have you ever met a Braves fan?
Well, yes,
a lot of our generation are Braves fans.
Listen, we were raised on Mark Lemke and Otis Nixon and Ryan Klesko.
That's true.
I'm Ryan Klesko.
Maddox and Glavin. Yeah, Lively Pod. Thank you, TBS. You're absolutely right. Like WGN with the Cubs. Like that's the only reason a bunch of people are Cubs fans. Yeah, that's a good point. Justin Myers, my old former coworker, big Braves fan. He's the only actual fan of the Braves who follows.
He doesn't count.
Year.
He's also a Steelers fan and a Bulls fan. I remember those days. We could Justin bandwagon. Jesus Christ. Well, I just so happened to be a fan of every team that was good in the 90s.
Every team that was good when I was a kid.
How bizarre.
I thought our generation was Cowboys, Yankees, Bulls. Isn't that the trifecta?
No, we were Braves. Braves over Yankees, 100%.
Because Yankees didn't win until Braves were by far the best team throughout the mid-90s.
And you know, he's a Steelers fan for one reason, and one reason
I know, Troy Polamalu. Yeah.
We all know this.
Whatever.
He went to school with him.
I just don't need to hear him and Aaron Fentress be like, oh, I'm born and raised Bulls fan. Fart. Get out of here. Get. Especially when I heard that Aaron Fentress on a radio show say that he was a Pistons fan before he was a Bulls fan. Get out. Now you spend every day on Twitter defending Michael Jordan, and you said you were a Pistons fan.
Stop it. WCP says, I do have a homie who's a Braves fan. TBS is the reason. Lively Pod says, my teams are the Braves, Cowboys, Magic, and Avs. Yes, the Orlando Magic. Yes. I don't know about sticking with the Orlando Magic after your childhood.
No, they got Paolo. They got Banchero.
Yep.
I'm just saying. After
Jonathan Isaac or something.
After Shaq and Penny, it was slim pickings.
Oh, the Avs. That's a great shout. The Avs were a sneaky cool 90s team.
Big Patrick Waugh guy.
Just beat the shit. It was them and the Red Wings just beating the shit. Dino Ciccarelli was trying to be cute, and Claude Lemieux just would not let it happen. I think the Avs coach, what do they call him? Are they called coaches? I don't even know. I think his name was Mark with a C and no K, Edwards.
Of course.
Just a scumbag. I hated the Avs. I hated the Avs so much. I was such a Red Wings guy. Give me Stevie Y.
I don't remember watching hockey. I remember watching random hockey when I was a kid, but I was not a fan of a team.
Oh, I was definitely a bandwagon Red Wings fan in the 90s, for sure.
I was totally a star watcher for hockey. So it'd be like Gretzky.
Mike Modano.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like Messier. It'd be, Lemieux.
Big North Stars fan over here.
And then I'd play the video game. I'd play as those people. I'd get bored of the video game, and I'd move on from hockey. Oh, by the WCP, he's pointing out that Ciccarelli was on those later 90s Red Wings teams. We don't actually know the players that were on these teams.
NHL 96, I think, is when my knowledge kind of stopped. Maybe it was 94. Yeah. Actually,
Sergei.
Wayne Gretzky. Fedorov. Hockey,
3D hockey.
Yeah. Wayne Gretzky hockey, the 3-on-3 on the N64 is kind of where my hockey, yeah. Except for that one run that the Sharks made in like 2012.
Quixie?
Yeah, no, that's the Kings. Get out of here.
Oh man. Even I know that. God.
Jeez Louise, that's hurtful.
Skis, I think, like, he might be Skis, like,
please, Skis, like, please change topics. Please change topics.
They know we had, like, Joe Thornton taking us to the 2013 NHL Finals. The Cup. The fight for Lord Stanley, as some say. Steve Levy's Lounge.
Oh, check this out. So Hucklebenny says, my buddy has given me shit for years for not watching hockey. Decided to get on the Kraken bandwagon. Now I can't stop watching it. It's insane.
Nope.
And now his Caps are missing the playoffs.
The Sharks were there all the time.
You always had the Sharks, bro. You always had the Sharks.
They had a Shark Den. Shark Den in the crack house for the Kraken.
It doesn't make sense. I was born in San Jose. I should be a Sharks fan. I think if push came to shove, I would be a Sharks fan.
You got to be a Sharks fan.
It's too late, man. I'm in my 40s.
You can call them the Sharks because, you know, they're always going to screw it up. It's fun. It's why I'm a Hotspur fan.
Yeah.
I figured you were a Blackhawks fan because of the Winterhawks. I mean, you're a Portland guy now.
African-American Hawks, please. Come on.
Easy. Transition.
Moving on. Oh no!
A break for an ad.
Jeez. Another easy. Yeah,
you got the ad space behind you, man. And now a word from our sponsor.
BetterHelp.
Now a second from Lillermite. Lillermite, a refreshing beer.
Are you in need for a new used or new car? Head to Ron Tonkin Chevrolet.
The Tonk.
Oh, by the way, throw us some residual payments there, Ron Tonkin. We have done your business good today. Good, probably. Okay, so we should probably talk about the Khalil Ware deciding to enter the transfer portal a little bit. I don't know if it's really. It is a surprise, but it shouldn't be. Maybe, I don't know. There were three bigs on the roster this year for Oregon. He was the one who played the least. Even though Dante was injured a few times. And so, you know, he's the five-star kid. If he's playing 15 minutes a game or whatever it was, like, I get it. And, you know, he wasn't producing. He was not happy, clearly, when he was at Oregon. So it is.
He did not look like he was having fun out there.
Never. At any point during the season did he look like he was having fun. So.
And I don't think Dana was too happy to have him on the team either.
Well,
I think of all the people, he pissed Dana off the most.
An overarching thing about, like, just Dana in general is with five-star guys, especially bigs, Dana's like, you got to play defense guy. That's great. Like, that's totally fun. Like, Tom Izzo does that shit too. Coach K did that. But with bigs, I feel they're not doing that
in those AAU games. They're not playing defense.
No, I know. I feel like he needs to stop being so just rigid on that. Like, of course, playing defense seems rather important and pretty simple because every basketball person will tell you defense is just about effort,
especially if you're 7 feet tall.
But if you're going to be that rigid on it, don't recruit those guys. Like, because you can recruit a five-star guard, and they can fake defense. You know what I mean? I hopped in the passing lane. Five-star bigs got to really try on defense because they're kind of last defense. So, I don't know.
Just play a zone if you got some not great defensive
players. Please, no. No zone. fuck that 2-3 Syracuse zone. I do not ever want to see that cowardly zone.
Never again, sir. Sir.
See, that's your
sir.
Braga loved Boeheim getting out of there. He's too old, was there too long.
Yes. Yeah, no lifetime contracts. Get Boeheim out of there. He's a bum. And he had all his wins vacated because he's a bum. Finally, a run in Oakland.
It's by the A's.
It was not Oakland getting the run.
No, but I mean, I think King, you brought it up for that after the first week. Bigs in the tournament, they don't win you games. Arizona, Purdue, they're big dominant. They both got bounced.
And big stiff dominant too. Like,
yeah.
Guys like that Ballo guy, you know, Zach Edey or whatever is going to be the player of the year, and that Ballo guy or Ballo from Arizona dropped 40 points multiple times. Did it on Oregon, I think, actually.
Like,
in Tucson. It's just, once you get into the tournament now, like, those big guys are okay. They cannot be your who you run through. Because, like, the Purdue game, I forget the exact stat, but it was something like their last 13 shots were not shot by Edey.
Yeah.
And they missed. They were like one of 13. Because all of a sudden, these guys are like, shit, you're lying on me? For a 16-footer? For a 20-footer?
I mean, they were just, they had a guy, you know, behind them and in front of them just making it difficult. That's all they would try to go to, just dump it into the big. You try to shut that down. So yeah, with Dana, it's like, bigs are important. Go get those fucking, like I said, those five-star guard, the five-star wings are the true killers in the tournament.
Well, yeah, there's my question. Would you rather have, so Ware's gone, so the two, possibly two, I mean, Dante will probably leave. I don't know if
he's back.
He should. He should.
He's coming back.
But he should come back.
I think he should go.
Crystal ball. He's coming back.
But here's my question. So out of, you know, Dante coming back or Biddle coming back, which one would you rather have on the court as your big? Because when Dante's on the court, they stop the offense. They throw the ball into him in the post. He backs dudes down. He does his moves. He's good. He'll put up 15 to 20 points a game, you know, get 8 rebounds a game. That's good. But it totally kills any offensive movement, any momentum you have, any chance of, like, fast breaking down the court. Now, in the NIT, you know, it's the NIT. You know, take that with a grain of salt. He was out. Biddle played.
By the way,
Biddle played
NIT
the whole time.
Finals currently going right now, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, who gives a
fuck?
I would say the same thing if Oregon was in it. Although we do like banners. Even though
they don't just hang.
Even though they don't
hang. They just
don't
hang.
No, but in the NIT, Biddle played well. The offense moved. Biddle was running the floor. I think he averaged like 15, 16 points a game in that tournament. Like, he played well. He started to look really good towards the end of the season. So, like, what, I mean, knowing what we know about what makes Oregon good, it ain't bigs. It's guards who run and guys you can kick out to and shoot. You need to have that. And so having Oregon what they are with guys who can't shoot, which would you
rather
have?
That's where it is. Dante can make the offense good if you had shooters around him, because then you couldn't double him. And he could just work one-on-one.
Imagine Dante and Pritchard. Dante backing dudes down. He has Pritchard to kick out to. Pritchard scores like 35 points a game on just open threes
Let's say you take Dante into that Final Four run team, you know, instead of like Boucher or Bell.
Ooh.
I mean, with
hard
when
pass.
You got... I mean,
hard pass.
No.
You got, hard pass. He's taking the headphones off. Hard pass.
I will say, I think the offense would still run well with Dante on that team because they have playmakers and shooters.
I think that is our point, though, is that a big like Dante kills Oregon's offense. Like, Oregon's offense cannot work with a big like Dante. And that is the, like, Dante is the white whale that Dana has been chasing his whole career. He gets him and it just completely kills any offense that he has. Like, it doesn't work with a big like that. And so I don't know where you go from here other than just hammering every five-star guard you can in the country. Like, bring in every single one of those. And Jesus Christ, Hunter Renfrow just made an insane fucking catch. He's running backwards like this and, like, reached up like this. Like, not looking at the ball and caught it like this. You'll see it later. It's bonkers. It should have been a triple.
But Shelsen Cook, a good start to rebuilding a offense for Dana. Because I think, you know, Cousinard's coming back, but I think he plays at the two and Shell stud at the one, Cook at the three, and then what is the other 5-star kid? I think he's like a power forward, isn't he?
Kwame Evans.
I think he's like a 4-3-4 somewhere there. Yeah, I have more hope with that than Dana getting all these transfers in, honestly, even though Dana has had the best track record with 5-star freshmen.
It's so weird. Like you get excited. You see a 4 or a 5-star coming to Oregon. You're like, oh my God, it's an elite player. We're so trained for that with football. Like it's an elite player. He's going to be really good. And they all suck when they come here. It's so weird.
Isn't that similar to what Oregon receivers were? I mean, we never really got big 5-star receivers, but it was no block is the same thing. You don't play defense. You don't play. You don't block as a wide receiver, you're not getting the ball kind of thing.
I guess. Yeah, well, no, because, you know, Franklin was the first 5-star since, like, what, Cam Colvin at wide receiver?
Cameron.
Yeah, so it's not something they really have gotten very often, but Oregon has gotten 5-star players, like, what's his face? Troy plays for the...
Brown.
Yeah, Troy Brown. Like, Troy Brown was super underwhelming. I mean,
he was the worst of them all.
Lou King was the worst.
Louis King.
No, because the thing about Troy Brown is that Troy Brown's sins really were Peyton Pritchard's sins.
Yeah,
because Peyton Pritchard was so underwhelming that year that I'm not saying Troy Brown was like the most amazing 5-star player, but there were games where Troy Brown would just lock people up for like 3 straight possessions and they would get like 6 points, like bang, 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 steal, lockdown, rebound, outlet. But he wasn't a polished like shooter. Mm-mm. So like he was great on defense, wasn't a polished shooter. I would say Lou King is like the lamest of the 5-star. Well, I guess Khalil Ware was lamer, but whatever.
And NBA likes that because NBA is like if you come into our league being able to play defense and you're physically gifted, we can work on your offense. Like that's
I do think if Bol Bol didn't break his foot or tear his ACL, whatever he did, our threshold of 5-star guys would be a little different because he was going to be weird. I mean, we all saw their loss to, Texas State?
Southern.
Texas Southern with Bol Bol. So he wasn't without his flaws, but then they went to New York and, like, kicked the shit out of, like, Iowa and Syracuse. And then they came back here and he tore or broke whatever. And
he was going to be very good.
Yeah. Like, they weren't going to win the title or anything with him because he's just weird and awkward, but he would have put up numbers. He would have been fun as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's confirm something that's in the chat right now. Hairston was the first 5-star, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. That was that class with, like, him and Bryce Taylor.
Oh, Bryce Taylor. Chamberlain Noguchi.
The
Gooch.
Tuan Porter.
Was it, like, Michael Dunnigan? Was he?
Michael Dunnigan. Dunnigan came later. I think Dunnigan was the guy that was shooting ducks down at Alton Baker Park.
Shooting BBs and ducks. Yeah. Was it pellet? Was it a pellet gun or a BB gun?
It was a pellet. Yeah.
I think it was a pellet.
I thought it was a BB gun.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
So I was like, I feel like that's a little less threatening than a pellet gun. You get hit with a pellet, that shit hurts.
What's worse, shooting BBs at ducks or throwing snow on passing by cars?
I don't know. Some of those pics of Farrell Brown are pretty bad. It's like, hey, old white person.
Yeah.
Eat this.
Yeah, right. Like, throwing snow on the face, like right in the face of an old white person.
I'm just a tenured professor. Please stop.
I just want to go home. It's so cold. It's so cold.
Mr. With Mike Farrell. Breen on their ass to just bang.
Love that. Lots of Bronny James talk in the chat too. I don't even have a take on Bronny James, man. He's a 4-star, so I mean I don't even know if he's really that good. I think he would bring a lot of publicity anywhere he goes. But
So I think his name was like Jonathan Givenchy. If you saw his name, you would be like, oh, I've seen him.
Sure.
He used to work for ESPN. Now he's at like Draft Express. For like 2 years now, he's had some pretty good write-ups on Bronny where he was like, he's not anything. And then now he's like, oh, shit. He's actually like worked on his game and he's actually good.
Right.
Like he's a good player.
Yes.
But I don't think Bronny's playing in college.
You think he'll go G League?
I think he's going G League. Because it was probably like 2 months ago now, I think, where there was some little press conference or someone asked Altman about him. And he was like, I haven't even offered him. And then, like, in that same scope, they asked Andy Enfield, whatever his name is in SC. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'd love to have him, but we haven't really had those conversations. And he's linked to Oregon, SC, and Ohio State.
Yeah, you can't tempt him with NIL, so it's tough to get him in there.
I don't know why he wouldn't just go to USC. It's in his backyard, whatever. But because – and it's overkill, I'm sure. Because no one really cares about Bronny James like that. But if you sign Bronny James, you're probably having such a weird security panel guys with you just because of who his dad is.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're having like a TSA, you know, like guy on all of your flights everywhere, sitting there just loaded up in case something weird happens. And he's probably, which sounds weird if you're a high four-star guy, but he's probably not worth that. I would love him to come to Oregon. Sure. It'd be fun as fuck.
Well, I mean, he did, what, was that 5 threes he hit in the McDonald's all-American game?
And Kwame and Mookie were, there's articles out there were like, yes, we from after the McDonald's game, we're like, bring Bronny to Eugene. We want Bronny.
Yeah.
We're recruiting Bronny. But I think there's a lot of like weird stuff that goes along with getting Bronny where a lot of coaches and Altman's probably at the top of the totem pole where he's like, not quite
Altman, worth it. He doesn't want to deal with that.
But what I think is weird is if you look at Bronny, he's not a one and done guy.
No, not at all.
No,
he's really not. So you would think, I don't know. I hope they get him. I just think he's going to go to like the G League, which is.
Well, from like the whole LeBron saying, you know, how he really wants to play with Bronny in the NBA. The quickest way is to just go to the G League.
Yeah.
You can even bring him up for a 10-day contract kind of shit. If you could tell he's not good, you know, just, yeah, there you go. Right. Gimmick thing. 10-day deal. Get on the court for a couple minutes.
That's a good point from the chat. Bronny would be the lowest rated guy in Oregon's class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is insane. It's
crazy. Yeah. Also, so here's something that was posed. Like somebody said, it boosts Oregon's recruiting for next year if you sign Bronny. I don't know that that's true. Like I don't know that other kids really give a shit about LeBron's son. Like they might get to meet LeBron once or twice or something like that. I remember when, you know, Kobe was around a whole bunch when Sabrina was here. Like that was really cool. But I don't think it got kids to say, oh, look, Kobe was at Oregon's facilities a couple of times. I want to go to Oregon.
I do think they technically signed the best class in women's history.
I don't think that's why.
Though. Yeah, but
like, I'm not saying that's why. And it fell apart real quick.
Sabrina is the reason why, not Kobe. Yes. But yeah, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, can the Ducks even pull, you know, top five talent? I mean, I kind of feel like what he got coming in this next year is kind of top level of what Dana could pull. Barring winning a title. Obviously that'll bring people in.
Here's a question. It's December 29th. Oregon is playing Florida A&M. 8:00. The Ducks are 3-1. Florida A&M is, well, it wouldn't be 3-1, but whatever. You know what I mean? It's whatever. It's 29 degrees out, and at 2:00, you hear LeBron's coming to the game. You going to the game?
No.
Are you go? No?
No.
Well, just for the spectacle?
There, but yeah.
I would go for the spectacle.
To see a person at a place, like, just sitting there?
No,
like,
it ends. The spectacle ends like that. Once the game starts, the spectacle is over. But...
I'm with King. The biggest pop of the year at Matthew Knight Arena was when the football team came out.
Yeah, you're not
and
wrong.
Bo Nix was sitting up. Bo Nix is actually there for a different game that they panned on him, and you know the place erupted. And that's Bo Nix. That's no LeBron.
Yes, it helps your program having him around it. Yes, I just don't think it's anything really bigger than what you just said.
I think if he comes to a random game.
Like he's not going to go to games and sit courtside. You know what I mean?
I disagree. He sat courtside the McDonald's game.
No, he's chilling with Ski in the Kilkenny Grotto, man.
No, he wants to be seen, man.
Oh yeah,
he's having whatever he's branded under his seat.
Look at when he went to the Duck football game.
Yeah,
he's fucking on the sideline.
Do you remember that? By the way, I feel like people forget that he and Dwayne and Wade and Carmelo Anthony,
Chris Bosh
at a Ducks game.
Yeah,
that was crazy. Fucking
who could
wild.
Have seen them ever like teaming up at that point? How weird!
<Right? laughs>
If they're buddies enough to go to an Oregon football game together on a random Saturday, they might want to play together. Okay. Any other thoughts on this before we move on?
I will bring up the, you said you think Dante comes back. I guess I will agree with you. Cause I was watching MacBee today and they had a list of, or was it yesterday? Oh, they had a list of like the top NIL, athletes, right? So Bo Nix was on there. It said Nix is making $1.7 million
right now.
Right there, yeah. This next year for his NIL, 1.7. I don't know how real that is.
That's probably just like the general thing. Like,
yeah, I don't
whatever.
Know. It's probably more, but yeah, that for the list he was like 8. But if you're like maybe Dante, what if he gets $500,000? Would be more than he would make if he probably entered the draft this year. And they brought it up. You might see a lot of people sticking around in sports if you're going to get a couple million dollars when you're not a lottery pick or a top 10 pick.
He kind of feels like he has Europe written all over him, doesn't he? I don't know.
Well, just the people sticking around thing. I was reading something a couple days ago. That's why the NCAA tournament this year has been so weird, because there's so many teams and like Florida, AU, FAU, and Miami are a couple of them, and K State was one, even though they bowed out in the Elite Eight, where everyone was like 24.
Yeah,
they're all 24 and 25, and they've been around. K-State, everyone was new, but like FAU, and then on the women's side, Iowa, everyone, 3 or 4 straight years of the exact same starting five. So, yeah, I think people will stick. And, part of that is COVID, but part of that is also NIL, where, if you can get $200,000 more, why wouldn't you stay? Your life is so much easier.
Your life
is easy as fuck in college if you're making $410,000 and all you got to do is get on Instagram and be like, hey,
Sabrina did a post about that. She was like, I would stay in college as long as I possibly could nowadays. It's like, yeah, man. And by the way, Sabrina's like the highest like merched WNBA player going right now. So
Sabrina missed that mark by literally a pandemic.
Yeah, because
literally.
Because I think for the list had like the number 3 highest paid NIL college athlete was some female gymnast.
Oh, like Livy Dune.
$4 or $5 million in NIL.
And what's so funny about that, she doesn't even do gymnastics anymore.
Is she not on the team anymore?
She's on the team. She just picks and chooses her spots.
Oh.
Like a couple of months ago, they played at Utah or played, performed. I'm not saying that.
Competed?
Competed, yes.
There you go.
LSU went to Utah, and their arena is where the basketball team plays, and like 10,000 people showed up, and all the Utah simps and boys were like, Livy Dunn. She didn't even compete. She just...
Just hung out.
She showed up, signed some autographs, got some IG content, did not perform. They were just like, fatigue.
You think there's like appearance fees for NIL shit like that?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, we're going to need you just to show you if you're hurt or even if you're hurt. Hey, we need you to show up here at least.
Yes, absolutely. Because when LSU was trying to leave, like the Salt Lake City cops literally had to like intercede and be like, get the fuck out of here. The bus needs to leave. Because all these, you know, hornballs were banging on the bus and stuff.
I want a dry hump.
Oh, all right.
I didn't mean dry hump. I meant jump hump. You know what I meant.
Jump hump.
Yeah. That's what it is, right? Jump hump. Am I remembering that right? The one where you jump on the bed.
Yeah, someone else jumps on the bed. Yeah, yeah.
That's soaking.
So no, that's well,
you're
not soaking.
It's a combo. You got you soak it, and then your friend jump humps you.
Yeah, soaking. Okay, you need a friend to jump. Yeah,
I feel so stupid not remembering that.
How do you not remember that?
I know. I feel like really dumb right now.
This guy fucks.
this guy doesn't fuck, but.
I just watched She-Hulk, and there was a funny joke in that where she keeps trying to get the Hulk to say that Captain America fucks, and so at the end of an episode they're drinking together and she goes, "I knew it! Captain America fucks!" And they cut it out right before she says fucks. That's funny. Anyway, do we want to move on to Keeper Kick? You guys got anything else? Should we talk about the president being arraigned? No? Okay.
No.
Okay. Do you have Keeper Kick?
No, I got nothing.
Nothing.
This Ron DeSantis guy, what a cuck.
I mean, am I
straight from the Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz playbook. Just, I will not. I refuse to go along with this crooked investigation. I will not send him up to New York. Oh, sorry, we're not talking about it.
I was like, you know, he hates you, right? Like
he's going to kick. Yeah. Trump. Okay. We're not talking.
No,
about
real quick.
Not,
before
no,
we get,
we're not,
before
no,
we get to our list, real quick. Yeah.
Did you see any snippets of Donald Trump's rally in Waco, Texas this weekend?
That's a no for me.
Okay. I saw some.
I saw two clips, and one of them was him just being like, "And your airports, they're so dirty, they're very dirty, lines are long, and they're dirty, so much dust, get the dust." This is your own personal grievance, man.
He's a big anti-dust guy.
Like, what are you talking about? Just what?
Gonna build a wall.
You can't even do like a racist trope. You're just saying, "Oh, and airports are crowded again." Because trust me, airports were not crowded in my last year as president. Never. While I let COVID run rampant, they were so empty. But we're not talking about politics.
To build a wall, no. To cover the dust.
Too much dust.
Net. Build a net for the dust.
Yeah,
net. Winter weather advisory is in effect until Sunday, April 2nd, 5 p.m.
What's that, Siri?
Thanks, Siri.
Yeah.
Apparently got a winter weather advisory.
Hey, Alexa, why don't you shut up and mind your own business? How about that? Is this like Trump coming in through your Alexa? Like
I think so.
Yeah.
Hey, not Alexa.
Cool. Not cool.
What's Trump up to?
What's he up to?
January 20th, 2021, Donald Trump had the following publicly scheduled event. At 11 a.m., the president arrives at Palm Beach International Airport.
Did you say 2021?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, you got to keep up.
Oh, babe.
Way to be current,
babe.
Alexa.
Sweetie.
Babe.
Sweetie. No.
Oh.
Oh. Let's do our list. The list was your idea, King. What is our list this week?
So, last night, the Sacramento Kings wrapped up their first playoff berth since 2006.
They did it.
2006, when war hero George W. Bush was still in the White House. Oh, God, we're not talking politics.
No, we're not talking about that.
Who
no.
made me do that?
Yeah.
So,
at least a war hero, by the way. I don't think
he stood up there. Mission accomplished, baby. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you see that first pitch? Game 3 of the World Series, Yanks and Diamondbacks.
Zing.
War hero.
That was
war
a strike.
Hero.
That was a strike. Just like all the strikes he did. Okay, never mind.
Our list. Top three songs from 2006, the last year the Sacramento Kings reached the playoffs.
Do you know who took over as the team who has had the most years of a playoff drought? Now that it's not the Kings anymore. In all sports.
In all sports.
Yep. It's in football.
Yeah. The Lions?
It's the Jets, actually.
Oh, it is the Jets. But it's not long. It's like 2010, right? Yeah,
well, I guess the Lions just made it.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Mariners, too. Like, finally. It's crazy. Crazy stuff, man. It's a crazy world we're living in. You want to start with the list, or?
I will start. So in 2006, we had three prolific, prevalent styles of music in the United States. We had emo pop punk.
And Timbaland produced all of them, by the way.
We had butt rock with like Nickelback and Creed and Buck Cherry. And we had the ATL influencing everything from the windows to the walls.
Yeah, you had Chingy was big during that time. Some Ludacris.
Chameleon Air,
yep.
So my number three, as a nod to the emo pop punk, is I Write Sins, Not Tragedies, Panic at the Disco.
I saw Panic at the Disco on the 2006 list. I just don't remember what they sound like. And so I don't know any of their songs.
If you heard them, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Oh, that song. Yeah, totally. I was like that with a few of them. So, okay. You want to go ski or me?
I'll go. Okay. My number three, I don't even know what you like, rock, grunge. I don't know. Why would call it cocaine music?
There you go.
My number three of 2006 is Buck Cherry's Crazy Bitch.
Hey, yo, crazy bitch, bunch of so good, I'm on top of that.
I don't know who Buck Cherry is, man. I don't know who that is.
Butt rock, baby. Buck Cherry's in butt rock. Like, literally.
Are they fall into the butt rock? All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Very much.
All right, number three. So number three's for me.
This is Spotify butt rock and Buck Cherry is in
Buck Cherry.
Well, that's just your personal Spotify playlist.
It is not. I did not make this one up. It's literally a butt rock.
I don't know what you're talking about. Only we and like a couple other people can see that. So the people listening, that is his personal playlist. It's all Buck Cherry songs. It's crazy,
hey,
guys.
You're crazy, bitch.
Speaking of crazy, bitch. All right. So number three, there's a bunch of big, huge songs. Number three is for me. Like, you guys might not know who this is. I know Ski does, but it's Merce. Merce came out with an album, Murray's Revenge, that year, and L.A. is my favorite song from that. I fucking love that song. I'm from L.A. It's really, really, really good. Listen to it. Ninth Wonder. It's Merce from the Living Legends. It's very good.
Yeah, no one's heard that song.
That's my one that only I'm going to know here, so. Continue. Oh, number three from Booble is Jibs, Chain Hang Low. I don't know what that song is.
Jibs?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
WCP, are you saying that Merce was your number one? Because he says, dude, that was my number one.
You guys are such hipsters.
Hipsters?
Okay. My number two song is, you've all heard it, I swear. It's Couch by The Floor. You've heard it. Trust me, you've heard it. It was a banger. Total banger. Total banger. You've all heard it.
You're fucking making up songs in our.
No, what are you talking about?
That is fake.
Shelving. By The Shoes. You've never heard that song? Big East Bay song. Trust me, you've heard it.
Is that a song, Huckleberry? So you had a bad day. Is that from 2006?
It's actually the number one song of 2006. By Daniel Powder. Taking one down and you're turning around.
The only powder I know is that movie. I relate to that guy.
My number two song of 2006 is Crazy by Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah.
Gnarls?
It's a banger. It's absolutely a banger.
All right. My number two is Stay Fly by 3-6 Mafia.
Triple six, triple six. Is there a better song than Sippin' on Scissor? Serious question. In all of American music history, is there a better song than
3-6 has a lot of fucking bangers out there.
Jesus Christ. That's literally one of the best songs ever. I'd put it up there, man. It's better than the Beatles.
Oh, it's totally definitely better than Water Bottle by Sink. That was an East LA song. You totally heard it. I guarantee it.
You're going to say a real band name trying to make some one of these times. It'll be a real band.
At some point you're going to slip up and accidentally say a real band name.
These are all real bands. What are you talking about?
My number two is Joker and the Thief, Wolf Mother. It's a banger. We hear it before every single Duck game. Like, it is what it is. We're all tired of it, but holy shit, that song hits real hard. Real hard. Holy shit, WCP, did that album come out in 2006? Zion Eye and the Grouch?
Oh my god, more of
or be on my list.
Silly Putty on there?
No, it hit him. That's a good song. That's his number two. What was yours? What was yours, Booble? Riding? I don't know who sang that.
I know who did. That was Whale and Sandwich.
Oh, yeah, class.
Real big. It's real group. I don't know what you guys are doing. I had it on vinyl. You guys listen to it on MP3. I had it on vinyl.
At first, I thought you meant Wale. I was like, I was like, Whale. I was like, no, that's a bit still hard.
Speaking of whales, get out of here, Eugene Emeralds. You're the worst. Go Hops. Jacob Archer, you're the worst. Get out of here. And you, I hope you play this on Bluetooth in your studio and then it's your office and your cubicle in PK Park. You're the worst. I've never met you, but you're the worst.
We're going.
I'm sure you're great. You're the worst.
We're going full circle and just taking people down.
Just blah, blah, blah.
Ping, 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 ping. Yeah, WCP says it came out in 2006. Heroes in the City of Dope. That's a really, really good album. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Probably my favorite from that one. That's really, really good. Okay. What's your one, King?
My number one, Nelly, Paul Wall, Ali, and Gip. Grills with a Z.
With a Z.
With a Z.
Obviously.
What it do, baby? Man. Iceman Paul Wall.
I think that
Paul
song,
Wall, baby. Rivals, People's Chain.
That song rivals my number one.
Though I will say, outside looking in is How to Save a Life by The Fray, because everyone who had a girlfriend in 2006 was watching Grey's Anatomy, and that song was just in your head forever. How to Save a Life.
I think if we poll like 100 people what the top song from 2006 is, they would probably say Timberlake. Like that What Goes Around Comes Around song.
I don't know.
Or they side with Britney and they're like, fuck Timberlake. I don't know.
I think Walk the Deck by Salamander and the Plank is probably number one.
Salamander and the Plank is so good. That's so good. These could
poison.
These could absolutely be real band names.
Great band names, man.
Great.
All right, Ski, what's your one?
My number one, it's going to compete with King's number one. It's Bubba Sparxxx and the Ying Yang Twins, Miss New Booty.
Miss New Booty.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right, tell me that's not the number one song of 06. Get out of here.
Better white rapper in 06, Paul Wall or Bubba Sparxxx?
Bro.
Oof. That's tough.
That's big. So big question. I apologize for dropping that at the end of the podcast. Blowing
you got
mind.
Me in a real in a bind, like the group Vice Grip and the Wood Board.
Oh God. Okay, so my number one is E40. Tell me when to go. Tell me when to go. Yes. Yes, sir. That was 2006. So there you go.
He had a good resurgence there.
He sure did. Let's see. Boobles was Welcome to the Black Parade. I don't know who's saying that.
Who's saying that, King?
Yeah. It's emo pop punk for sure.
For sure. Huckleberry says Akon, smack that.
Akon.
Akon, remember him?
Akon music.
His best song is I Just Had Sex, though, without question. Lonely Island. That is his best song. He says My Chemical Romance.
So, you were right, though. I was right there, though. Yeah,
you were in the ballpark.
Could have been My Sister's Lonely Dress, though, right? Easily.
This is great, man. It's just like we should have segments like throughout the summer. So one, we're going to do the King Reads a 90s baseball roster feature. That's going to be a thing. And now we just
in an emo pop punk voice.
Can
you imagine me being Mark Lemke,
Mark Grudzelonic,
Drew Berryhill,
Glenn Allen Hill.
Boy, I wouldn't besmirch that.
No, not
I've seen his hands. That guy could fuck me up.
Yes, he could.
Spit on me with a big old hunk of jaw.
All right, let's wrap this up. Anything else? No. Okay. Sunday, movie podcast, Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's on Stars. Watch it. Listen to us talk about it. Find us on all the things. Sports Brewery on Discord. Join it. It's a good time. Put the link on Twitter a few days ago if you want to find it. We just got Beaver Joe up in the Discord, folks.
No, we didn't.
We did. He's in
there. Oh, man. He's going to hit us up with, oh, it's been 97 days since Oregon beat Oregon State in football in your face.
I don't.
Bill
I
never
really,
bought.
I really don't think, I could not foresee him doing anything like
More that. More like Joe Fartmus. That's an inside joke.
Ah! I really hope he listens to the end of this one.
He's not.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye.